23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vitapet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
And once again, another big week for us on Animal Craze. Robert's Manufacturing on board. And also, who's on board? We've got your presenter, Gail Hunt. Gail, very good evening to you and to you and your guests as well for this evening.
Thank you so much, Gregson. Hope you're doing well. My internet seems to be playing up, so I hope it doesn't cut out. If it does, you are going to have to continue the interview while I get myself reconnected. Yeah, so a very lovely Sunday afternoon, and welcome to our listeners. I wanted just to begin, first of all, just by, I lost a dear friend to me recently, Martin Thorpe. So I really wanted just to extend my deepest condolences to his family and other friends who may be tuning in. He was a really wonderful, special person. So I just wanted to show my respect there. So, okay, back to Animal Craze. I want to welcome our special guests today. They are Roberta Foster and Shania Kay.
Okay. Nice to be here.
Hi, same here.
Yes. So it's lovely to have you. My internet's really, really playing up. I'm not sure why. So like I said, I do apologize if it does cut out. All right. So we're going to be talking about horses. Last week we were talking about our animal prevention cruelty laws, and we were covering dogs and kind of like, you know, the welfare of dogs and cats in Barbados. But we wanted to talk about something different today because it's Animal Craze. It involves all types of animals. And I've got two very special guests, like I said. So with no further ado, I'm going to jump straight into it and welcome my first guest to introduce herself. Her name is Roberta Foster, and she's had an absolutely amazing career. She's an amazing woman. So Roberta, can you tell our listeners who you are? Let's begin there.
Hi, Gail, and God bless you. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm just a horse crazy lady. Have been horse crazy from the time I was a little girl. You know, constantly begging for a horse. Can I have a horse? So I don't know. It's just in my blood. Love horses. Love all animals, really. But horses has always been my passion. So you ask. Go ahead.
So basically we understand that you're a horse person, but you're also a big animal lover, which is wonderful. Now, you've had quite the career, Roberta, and I know that you specialize in equestrian and more specifically dressage. You've represented Barbados in the 2019 Pan American Games in Lima, which is in Peru, and you came 11th in the finals, which really is absolutely amazing. So congratulations.
Thank you. Can you
tell us a little bit about what that was like, how it was representing Barbados, and how you felt about the whole experience?
Well, Gail, it's like a dream come true. From the time I was probably about 5 years old, I've always had a dream of I don't know where the dream started, but it certainly unfolded, and I feel blessed. Lima was absolutely amazing. The people are amazing. The competition was is mind-blowing, really. The competitors that were there to meet people and to be able to tell them all about our little island and how we train here.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful
city.
The first Pan American Games that I actually competed at was in 1999. So I think it was 20 years later in Peru. So it's been a long, long haul for me. I started I went to school in England, and when I finished school here in Barbados, my parents told me I had, if I wanted to work with horses, I had to study. So I went and studied whatever I needed to do. I had to learn every single solitary thing about a horse, about teaching, about riding, about the ailments and how to look after a horse. And while yeah. I was there, it's where I fell in love with dressage.
Okay, so that brings me my next question actually as well, because I know that you're the chair member for the Barbados Equestrian Foundation, and you can tell us a little bit more about that. But can you explain to our listeners what exactly is dressage and how it's different from other equestrian types of sports?
Dressage, everyone normally thinks of dressage as being very boring. But I think once you get to know dressage, it's a sport that you get very passionate about, because it's very technical, and you have to think about right. what you want your horse to do when your horse is doing it. And the ultimate goal is to make it to Grand Prix, which I'm training my horse at that level now. And you feel like if you're on a dance.
Okay.
Dancing with your horse, it's the finals are all done to music.
Okay, so is it kind of like the equivalent to what we would say like a ballroom dance, but a little bit more technical, even, would you say?
Or ice skating, you know how ice skating is judged, and so the Barbados Equestrian Association is active. We meet often, unfortunately right now on Zoom, and we haven't been able to have shows for 2 years now. We had our first show December 5th last year, which was extremely successful.
Okay.
Lots of new
Wonderful.
Riders. Yeah.
So what kind of things go on at the equestrian? When, like, say we didn't have COVID and you were able to, you know, have your activities, what sort of things do you do at the Equestrian Foundation?
We promote the sport, which comprises of the three disciplines, which is show jumping, dressage, and eventing. And eventing, okay. We're very proud to say that we had a team of eventers go to the Caribbean and Central American Games and won bronze for Barbados. So we're very proud of that.
Oh, congratulations to all. Yeah. Barbados is really getting on the map, isn't it? Everybody thinks that Rihanna's putting Barbados on the map, which she has, and she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, Barbadians, we do have other people that are really, really kind of like doing a lot of good work out there, getting out on the international levels in different fields of expertise. So I really want to big you up, Roberta, because
that is absolutely
awesome. You know, the whole Equestrian Foundation, that is so awesome. And it's not something that we really would get to know about unless we speak about it publicly. So I really hope that things in terms of like the sporting activities in Barbados, you know, we can see a bit more of an ease. I know that we had the Minister of Health yesterday speaking about this, and I hope that it bodes well for you, your team, and the horses as well.
Thank you so
much. Because of my internet at the moment, I can't see Gregson, so I know that we're due a break, Gregson. So if you want to go into that, that's fine with me.
Yes, thank you kindly. We'll come back to you in a matter of seconds. Just a reminder that you're listening to Animal Craze, and it's brought to you with the kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month here.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vitapet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay, just a reminder as well, this program can be heard, the repeat, on our sister station, The Beat 104.1 FM on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Okay, Gail, go right ahead, please.
Okay, so Roberta, I'd love to talk to you some more because I know that you did some really special training as well when you were in the UK to learn about horses and working with horses. But I didn't want to leave Sean out in the cold, not that it could ever be cold in Barbados, but I really wanted to give Sean a warm welcome as well. So our listeners, we also have Sean Hall with us, and he's, I would say, one of Barbados's top horse trainers. And he specializes in rehabilitative horse therapy, which he will talk more about. So welcome to Animal Craze, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Gail. How are you doing? I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good. So tell our listeners, I mean, I know lots of people will know you already. I spoke to somebody today at the gas station, and I said, Sean Hall's going to be on today. He's like, what time? So I was like, yeah, 4:15. I said, him and Roberta are going to be on. He knew both of you, so he's tuning in. So tell, for people who are not into horses or horse racing, horse riding, please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you were drawn to this career.
Well, I was drawn to this career very, very young. I really don't know what it is that got me into it, but I was born in England, and from the love that I first saw my love of horses on TV with my grandmother. I remember watching races of horse racing, and it always had my attention.
Right.
And from there, I always wanted, but after that, I just wanted to be a jockey for some reason. But my father's 6'2" and 200 pounds, and it was always, thought about that. That was just a dream. But
yeah,
for some reason, I took over my mother's jeans, and I was small for a little time in my life.
Oh, good.
And I was a jockey for a few years before I started training horses and that kind of stuff. So the older people would know me for being a jockey. The younger people might know me now for training horses.
Okay, then. Great. And I love your determination and drive in that, you know, once you outgrew being a jockey, you were still able to continue working with horses. You know, you was able to transfer that experience into something else, which is beneficial to the horses and also to the people that you work with. So when we talk about rehabilitative therapy for horses, what exactly does that involve?
Well, When I was training in Canada, I really got interested in that part of the business with a vet. Her name was Leah Guittard, and she had my attention from day one, where she just used to go over the horses with just a pen-like thing, anything like a pen. And she used to look for the acupuncture points of horses that would suggest where a horse is hurting. And she would tell me, Sean, left knee, Sean, right hock. And she would call the shots, you know what I mean? She would, wherever the horse,
yeah.
Once you're playing other vets, you have to block a horse. So he would block from the hoof all the way up. And when the horse gets sung, then you will know, well, that's where the problem was. But
so when you say block, can you elaborate a little bit more? I think I understand what you mean, but just elaborate a little bit more by what you, can you give a visual for us?
Yeah. But when I say block, I mean block the pain. So
okay.
So they would start in the hoof. So if that horse went song after blocking the hoof, then you would look for the problem in the hoof.
Right.
After that, you know, so you keep going up the ladder. So you go to the ankle, the knee, and then, you know, eventually the horse will get song because you took away the pain. And she never had to do anything like that. She was just all class. And when, from doing that with her, that really got my attention about that side of the rehab side of horses. But it wasn't until I really got hurt. I got hurt in 2009, and another friend of mine, she used to do the laser treatment. And she told me, Sean, look, instead of staying home and sulking all the time, you could come up with me and start doing this stuff. And at first it was very boring, you know what I mean? I just holding a rope, angry for how my life turned, you know what I mean? I'm hurt, can't do nothing.
Yeah.
But one
amazing.
Day, yeah, but one particular day, this lady, she told me about this horse that she worked on. She said, Sean, this horse is going to win today. And when I looked at the program, the horse was 50-1. So I said, Kim, this horse is no good. This horse have no shot.
Yeah.
Well, she said we're going to stop and watch the races. We, for the whole day, was there at races, angry. Now I have to stop and watch races.
Yeah.
But to my, I don't know. This horse came second, getting beat by a nose. Okay. And when that happened, she got my attention because this horse had no form, no nothing. And obviously she did some good work to get his horse to do what it did. And
yeah, it's a real special kind of talent.
Yes, very special. And from that day onwards till now, I have been very much into this rehab treatment with horses, especially with the laser. I'm lucky to get hooked up with people like Roberta when her horses and a lot of those show jumping ladies.
Yeah, I'd love you to tell us some more about that in a short while. But one thing that I wanted to say was that this is a really good life lesson, an example that you've given us about how we can triumph over adversity and how we can be in situations in life, right, where we think it's all over. Mm-hmm. And the situation can turn just like that once we're receptive. And once we're willing and open, then because say you had thought, you know what, I'm not holding this rock. I'm too big a person for this. Well, you're asking me to do this, but I ain't doing this. And so you had stormed off and, you know, doubted her and was, you know, continued to be down on yourself. Perhaps you wouldn't be where you are today.
Well, listen, I believe we all evolve as people, okay? And if you don't evolve in life as you get older, well, you don't, it don't make no sense living. You know, understand? And for myself,
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
I started as a jockey. I'm a trainer still. I'm a horse owner. Now I do the rehab stuff, and now I'm doing interviews on the internet with a lot of great people I've met throughout my horse racing career. You know what I mean? So you have to evolve, and
that's my main
thing. I'm evolving all the time.
We do. We really do. Life's all about evolving, you know. And I would like us to talk about your work with Roberta, especially you mentioned about the laser treatment that you're really excited about. So once we don't have to go into break, can you start to tell us about that?
Let Roberta start, because Roberta is one of my biggest fans. I don't like to blow my own horn. Let Roberta talk.
Cool, yeah. Go ahead, Roberta.
I do.
She's smiling.
I believe 100% in Sean Hall. I really do. I love every minute of when Sean comes to the stables. Oh my goodness! I say, oh my goodness! Thank God Sean has arrived. Thank God Sean has arrived, because I know.
All
he has to do is walk in the stables and put his hands on my horses, and I know, they're going to feel amazing tomorrow. So
That is such a gift.
I believe 100% in what Sean does, 100%.
So when you're preparing to, say you have to go overseas now with your horse for an event, do you work with Sean to get your horse prepared for that?
Absolutely. Yes. He comes, I think, Sean, you come daily.
I come daily when anytime she's preparing to do anything big, she could give me a bed and to let me sleep up at Congaroo.
Sean is here daily.
Some mornings I'm up there at 5:30 because I will get there before I go to the track. You know what I mean? So I just work with.
That's what we call dedication and passion.
Well, that's what life is about. If you're not dedicated, You shouldn't do what you want to do, man.
You have to apply yourselves.
Yeah.
But this sounds to me more than just kind of like having a skill and experience. This sounds like a calling, like a gift. You know, to be able, like, from what I'm hearing, to be able to be intuitively guided to what a horse essentially needs and what's going on with the horse. That's a very special gift, I think, that it's a God-given gift to me. It's not something that, I don't know if you can really learn that so much, that kind of level of intuitiveness with animals.
Well, I'm telling you this right off the bat. I mean, I've been doing horses for, I would say, all my life. I don't know myself not being around horses. And the experiences I've done or seen or whatever you want to call it, wrong horses, I go from, that's how I live my life, from the experiences of what I've done in the past. I've learned so much, and I do things that a lot of people think are crazy. You know what I mean? I touch points that people don't really understand, hurt horses and stop horses and that kind of stuff. But just being close, as Roberta would tell, I work very close with the horses too. I don't, when I go in there, it's just me and the horse. I don't put on a halter. I don't do anything. And I just feel for muscles that shouldn't be feeling tight. And I just try to make sure those muscles are relieved, you know, relieve those muscles. And very quickly, horses let you know, very, very quickly, horses let you know that they're feeling relief. I mean, for instance, the horse Holiday, I always tell Roberta, this filly doesn't like pain. And if she, anytime she starts to hurt, she's going to get cranky. And she does, she gets cranky, and I go up there, I fix her, and then she's good again, you know? So it's just knowing where hurt, which part of the muscles or the body is hurting. And you know, over the years, I've just learned to know these points that a lot of people overlook, I should say. I work on them, and it doesn't look like much, but it works.
I think what's lovely also, Sean, is to have a relationship with a horse person that's a body worker like you, but you also, or a rider.
Yes.
And so, yes. Or, you know, you will call me and say, what are you feeling? And I'll say X, Y, Z. And you are saying, oh, yes, that's exactly what I was feeling also. And you know, I can say, I'm feeling a little, she's feeling a little stiff here or this, and you come and bam, 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 and it's all, you know, it's all.
Sometimes, Roberta, I tell you, that is writer error.
Thank you very much, Sean.
No, because Roberta was hurting one time. She hurt her hand. I think you broke your hand.
Broke my wrist, yeah.
She broke her wrist, and she was still riding. So she was compensating with the hand and sitting badly on the horse. You know what I mean? So she's carrying the weight on the other side, and I said, Roberta, mm-hmm. I know your hand hurting, but you gotta suck it up. That's a rare error. This is not a, no, because she was hurting her back, and she was just hurting on the side that Roberta would have been compensating, you know. So those are things I know, you know.
Yeah, which makes it good for me. Yeah, in fact, Sean has worked on me too.
Yeah, I do that a lot too. I tend to work for anybody in the stable. It doesn't matter where, and they're somewhere hurting, and they say, "Well, if this is working so good for the horses, we got to try it." And you know, it works in truth. I mean, even my father, yeah, he has some cuts on his knuckles, and I put it on, and within the next day, the knuckles broke. No, it was so dry and cuts and everything. He was shocked. So it's a good equipment that I think a lot more people are. People and athletes should really use. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me? My internet had conked out for a moment. And so I was hearing you guys, but then it completely stopped. So it's back on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Yes, Gail, we have you. So you can go right ahead, please.
Okay, great. So, Gregson, do you want to go to a quick break again?
Yes, let's give you a little break, and then gather your thoughts, and then we'll come back with more of Animal Craze, brought to you with a kind compliment of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
And we're back with Animal Craze this evening. We've got Gail Hunt on deck as usual, and she has as her guest Roberta Foster and, of course, Sean Hall. So let's rejoin them. Gail?
Yeah, hi there. So, Sean, I caught some of what you were saying to Roberta, but it's really important for the listeners to have heard. So that's good. But I'm back on again. I wanted you to tell us about some, because I know you've worked in Canada as well, spent a considerable amount of time there. Can you tell us about some of the highlights of your career while you were in Canada and also here in Barbados?
Well, let's start in Barbados first, because that's where I started. I guess my biggest thing I've done in Barbados was winning the Gold Cup in 1996. It was the Cockspur Gold Cup back then, and I'm still the youngest guy to do it. I was 29 at the time. And soon after that, you know, I won some other classic races and thing, but I went to Canada soon after that, where I started. It was successful also. Very early in my career there, I won stake races for Robert Sangster and those guys. And, you know, like I say, you know, I mean, it was successful until I got hurt. And that's things kind of, you know, that's why I'm back here, because that cold weather up there, when you have spinal cord damage and injuries, you don't seem to recover like in the nice warm, the warmth of the islands, you know.
The sun, the ocean as well.
Yes, you got that right.
Yeah, I understand. So, yeah.
I couldn't take that pain and that. I just couldn't take it no more. So I'm back home. When a doctor tell you that, you know what I mean, you should look for a different job. You know, that kind of got me a little scared too, because I only know to do one thing, is work hard, you know.
Yeah.
I work hard, and when you tell me no, to be no, I can't work hard anymore. You know, this was a little depressing, and he told me if I fell from a horse again, he can't guarantee if I would be, you know, okay and that. So, you know, those sort of things, as you get older, you know, when with a jockey, your whole career you spend not trying to break your neck or your back, you know what I mean? And now I'm far from that, and I was having those problems. And a lot of these problems were from old injuries too, and from falls when you were younger and you're not caring yourself. Because I try to tell these youngsters now, especially the young here, so what I just fell recently, he had the same type of injury he had, C4 and C5 vertebrae.
Right.
And I told him, you know, take all the rest you need, because don't do like me. I didn't rest. I kept going with the stiff neck, can't turn right and just keep working. And by the time I was 45, the doctors tell me, I'm going to be in a wheelchair by 50, you know what I mean? So,
wow, that's a wake up call. If ever there was one.
Yes. So, you know, just try to advise those youngsters who have those same type of injuries to just take your time and get it fixed before you come back. Because as you get older,
your
body tells, you know, pays you back for the bad things you did when you were young, you know, and
Hear that a lot from especially sports, people that are involved in sports as well, you know, that have sustained a lot of injuries while they were younger, that once they get older, they really begin to notice it. But again, you've been able to kind of like transmute that into something where you can still continue working with horses in a different capacity. So how do you find in the Barbados scene working with other young jockeys? How are you being a positive role model and, you know, encouraging them to kind of like keep at it, because I know it must be really challenging for them, and also to, you know, to be kind to the horses, to respect the animals that they're working with, you know? How do you go about that, Sean?
Well, listen, all I could do here in Barbados, I you know, any youngster who wants advice from me, they come and talk. No, not many of them, but a few of them come. But the work I've done or tried to do is at more government level of trying to explain to the government of the time or whoever's in power, that we need to do more for the youngsters here in Barbados, in the sense of, because when we went to Canada back in the late 80s, about 40 or 50 of us went, right? But those 40 or 50 guys were different. It was a different era, so it was a different type of youngster, you know what I mean, who went to Canada.
Okay,
this generation of youngsters here now is a lot different.
In what way?
They're more, it's a more violent world. So everybody, you know, they seem to be a little more into, everybody seems to be a bad boy, that type of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's the direction I see.
Okay, and you think that one of the reasons, I just want to pause you there. I'm going to let Roberta speak on this as well. Can Roberta has some, you know, some really kind of like great ideas about working with our young people. Roberta, are you seeing the same kind of thing that our young people are kind of like channeling their energy? You know, they have so much energy and they have so much passion and drive, but it's kind of manifesting in a kind of like negative way often at the moment in Barbados and elsewhere as well.
To be honest with you, Gail, I am, unlike Sean, who gets out there and is out and about, I seem to be a homebody. And the ones that I have in training here with me, they either buckle up and train properly or they're out. Not that I would send somebody out on the street, obviously not. But if you have a passion to do something, you better passionately do it. And I, you know, Sean sees a different side of the island. I don't even know how to say it. Sean, you could jump in and say it. You know,
for I work at the racetrack every day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I can only judge it from what I see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those guys tend to be a little, you know what I mean? They're a little rough on the edges. But yeah. Don't get me wrong. Everybody. Nothing wrong with being rough on the edges, but you need to just get them back. You need to kind of get those rough edges smoothing out. And that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And
I understand exactly what you're trying to say. And it's important to talk about it as well, because our young people are obviously our future. You know, it's a cliche, but it's true. And there are a lot of psychosocial issues that we need to kind of like address openly to affect the positive change that we want. And one of them is to find avenues for our young people, but also, as well as Roberta was saying, the young people have got to be disciplined as well. You know, back in our day, we had to really apply ourselves, you know, we had to apply ourselves to a even the now society, the immediate gratification world, where young people want everything now, but we do have to learn how to apply ourselves to have that discipline of mind.
Well, and I think animals is a you know, is a wonderful avenue for children and young people. I think, you know, having the horse charity, I'm embarrassed to say I do not know how many riders are going through the horse charity and learning as jockeys at the moment, but it seems to be a pretty good program that's going on, and they also rescue some horses.
The only problem we find, right, with those type of things is that you got like 100 to 200 people who might go through that, and then you come to a bottleneck at the garrison where only a handful can make it, right? And then the rest of them guys kind of are deaf.
I'm not hearing you very well again, Sean.
But what I'm trying to say is that we need to open up. If kids like riding with horses or working with horses, that's why I was trying to get a horse racing academy, so you could clean up the act here in Barbados before we send people away. You know what I mean? So that they are taught everything that you need to learn on the outside. And, you know, we have guys here who, you know, Jonah Jones and those guys are here in Barbados that could help out to do that. And once we could get an academy here to teach people the right way, we could start sending as much people as possible. But as it is right now, I'd say it very hard to take a group of Barbados youngsters now to take overseas. It won't end well.
But I think, Sean, it comes from from the care of the horses also, because then the riders that we're trying to train up to go have the compassion for the horse. They just don't want to get the horse and race it. You know, I like to see exactly how my horse's stable is on a morning. I actually love to clean my stable. Mm. I love to feed my horses. I love to give my horses hay, because then the horses know me. Mm-hmm. And so, so therefore, you know, I think it's important for young people. You know, and I could not travel like how I do with my horse without having a groom that I trust 100%, because I can't, you know, as an athlete, you can't be there with them all the time. And and grooms make good money out of the island, you know.
Yes. a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. But you think about it is, right, Roberta, is that I think what really happened in Barbados, too much of our good men left in abundance, leaving a big void for to carry on, to teach. You know what I mean? I think teaching is all about, I hear my father talk all the time, like when they were playing test cricket, back at his time, Sir Everton Weeks and Sir Frank Walcott, Sir Frank Worrell, and all those great cricketers would come back into the communities and coach and teach, you know what I mean? But when you have that not happening, mm-hmm. all our good men are outside of Barbados, and you left all the youngsters here to just fend for themselves, and I don't know, not many, you know, people are teaching them properly. That's the main thing. And from going in the international market, you can't go around people's stable roughing them horses and,
no.
and getting on, you know what I mean? You only last a week, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Not, so
what I'm trying to understand then is when we talk about our young people kind of like being able to travel, you know, and work with horses and even volunteer in Barbados with animals, it's important then that we start, I would surmise, at the school level, so that children, because you spoke about this, Roberta, the other day, about how children in France are taught about
That's
okay.
her thing, all bad.
Okay, I believe we've lost Gail. Gail, are you still with us? Yeah, I think you've lost her momentarily. So while we try to rectify that, let me just go to Roberts Manufacturing and let them tell you all about what they have in store for you.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but is less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vitapet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
8 minutes away from the hour of 5 o'clock, you're listening to The Voice of Barbados as we present to you Animal Craze. We just lost Gail. I think we have her back. Gail, are you back with us yet? No, I don't hear any activity. Aha! See some movement. Are you with us, Gail? All right, still not hearing her yet. Gail, if you are back with us, you can jump in at any time. Sean, you were saying when we lost Gail, continue your point you were making when we lost Gail, please.
We have a lot of talent here in Barbados. A lot of young riders that really go far. They just need an opportunity. And I just would like to see that opportunity given to these youngsters, because we have so much heroes. They have so much heroes out there right now. Jockeys, that is, I mean, and because of that, you have a lot of fellas. I see fellas that are 6'2", walk up and say they want to be a jockey. He should be looking to bowl for the best cities. That's the only problem we have.
Like your dad.
But that's the only thing. When I see a kid who's 6'2", I want to be a jockey. I mean, it's like, Lord, man, you should be bowling for the best cities. You know, you're in the wrong field. But we could really. There's a market out there, right? And there's a lot of people here in Barbados. We are very passionate people to deal with horses. And sometimes we need to guide those fellas and ladies in a better way to make sure that down the road, you know what I mean? Instead of just staying around Barbados, just withering away, you could get people jobs on the international market. We started that. Ricky Griffith was the first guy in my generation who brought me to Canada. And because of that, we have guys from that era now who are now training, owning horses. They're doing all the good stuff that you want to see 20, 30 years down the road. And we want more of our guys doing that in the future. We have some young jockeys up there right now, but we have a batch of young ones who are now getting ready to go to Canada pretty soon. But we want to keep that train rolling. And not only jockeys, there's the room for, right now there's shortage of grooms in Canada right now, you know. And once you get into the system and you're grooming horses 10, 15 years down the road, you could become your own trainer, or you could do your own thing. You know, that's how up there is, you know, once on the here in Barbados, I don't see that. There's not much opportunities for young fellas to go on.
Yeah, we have you back, Gail. Finish your point,
okay,
Sean.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so there's not much, there's not many avenues for youngsters here going on with, and I mean, there's Victor Cheeseman and those guys. But when you look at it, you know, there's only one or two guys, but in Canada now, we got about four or five Barbadian guys who are training horses. Don't talk about assistant trainer part. There's so much more of those guys. Some even our children are now, you know, carrying the flag for us in Barbados, who are now assistant trainers, and they're young, you know what I mean? Young people. And in another 5-10 years, they will have their own string of horses.
Okay, Gail, permit me to ask Sean one last question before I hand back over to you. You keep saying guys 6'2 want to be jockeys. Could you tell our listeners what is the preferred description of a jockey and why it's that way? Because people want to know why can't I be a jockey at 6'2? Please help us with that.
Well, look at me. I'm 5'8", and I got big quickly. You know what I mean? So first of all, once you are too high height and your height
weight
goes with height. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the shorter you are, 5'2", you know, 5'5" is good. But as you start getting over 5'8" and stuff, you start to look on. You don't look right on a horse, you know what I mean? They look too big. You know, jockeys are tiny guys. They're supposed to look neat on a horse and everything like that. So I went through that as a youngster, and I started riding at 14. I think by 22, I was done.
Mm-hmm.
Because trying to kill yourself losing weight, you know what I mean? You do all the bad things in the book. You know what I mean? I'm talking about serious, like, LASIK tablets and all those type of stuff you don't eat. And it does trouble. It troubles you as you get older, too. You know what I mean? Those things. And I would avoid youngsters. Anytime I see a youngster too tall, I tell them, if you want to be an exercise rider, you can make a living. In life, it's about making a living. You know what I mean? I know guys who are 65 years old, who are my friends, who are still riding, and they're now at a different level, because when you're so long in the business and people know you, people know how good you are. And age is just a number in horses. You just try not to get hurt, you know? Once you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm going to ask you, can Sean and Roberta, can you turn your videos off for one moment? So that I could see if that makes a difference. This is about the third time I've been my systems. Turn off your videos for one moment for me, please.
Yeah, thing off.
I'm just going to see if that helps. I wanted to, one of the things that I wanted to mention as well, thank you for that, Gregson, because it's important for people to understand about the weight of the jockeys and how that correlates also with the speed, I guess, how fast a horse can travel, the lighter you are. I also wanted to think about, in terms of our young people, kind of what we can do for them at a young age to get them kind of like prepared and understanding the importance of animal welfare. And that, yes, it's good to work with horses and make a living from it, but you also have to kind of respect the animal and love the animal also. Mm-hmm. In order to be successful in your career and to be of benefit, you know, I wanted to touch on that. I don't know if you already had when I was off. So if you have, I'm just reiterating what you said.
Well, to me, if
most
you know,
essential components that anyone keeps the horse.
Sorry,
Gail.
Roberta?
Hi, sorry.
Yeah, you can go ahead because I seem to have lost Sean as well.
Sean is having trouble. I think for me, and I had spoken to Gail briefly this week, I would love to have something in the schools from the very beginning. You know, when you start to go to school, that you learn that animals are wonderful, animals are lovely, they're loving. And to hurt an animal is not a good thing. It's just like hurting a human. And you know, you teach a child not to harm anything and they grow up being loving and caring. And I think Gail, when she got knocked off, was asking about how it is in France. And for whatever reason, I have a student here right now from France, and her mum was telling me that in France, they actually have to have documentation if they want to own a horse. And I think in Barbados, what happens is the young guys, they love the horses and they think it's okay to get a horse, but they don't have the knowledge. And it's just the knowledge that's lacking, because they have the love, I think, but they just don't have the knowledge. And that, you know, if you feed a horse and then ride it right away, it gets very ill. Or if you ride it and then feed it right away, it gets very ill. It gets colic, and colic can kill them. Right. And so, something that I would love to see in Barbados is to have, I don't even know how you start it, but it's just a thought in my head, to have documentation that if you are wanting to own this horse, if this young guy wants to own this horse, he needs to have, first of all, a paddock that the horse can roam freely. It cannot be tied. A horse just cannot be tied. It's a flight animal. In other words, if it gets scared of something, it's not going to fight. It's going to run.
Right.
And if it runs and it gets on the end of the rope, it's going to fall and it's going to hurt itself. They need shade. They need feeding twice or three times a day. They need hay. You know, unlimited amount of hay or green grass. You know, they need water 24/7. It's not just you go and give them water when you remember. Don't just, you know, at Christmas Day, on New Year's Day, whatever day, they're still looking for you.
Absolutely. I'm now on my phone, and this is a lot better. So I'm using my data on my phone. You hit on some very key points there, because we can love something. You know, I love horses as well, but I know I can't keep one. And I think one of the problems that we have with our animal laws in Barbados is that the animal laws are in place, but they're not kind of regulated in such a way that there's kind of like protection. So that means anyone really can have a horse. If I wanted to have a horse and keep it in my I could probably have it, and it would take a long time before it was reported. By that time, my horse might have died, you know what I mean, for lack of care and so forth. So I think that, especially with such big animals, that we need to have some form of regulation in place to protect not only the horse, but also the horse keeper, because we was talking about young people who ride horses. I've seen them riding down the street. They have no hat on, no protective gear on. So if that horse, as you say, Roberta, you know, they're flight animals. If that horse is suddenly startled,
they're going to run.
They're going to run with that person with no hat on, that young person with no hat on. And that could really, looking for it, could really end badly. So we do need to get the regulations in place. And it's something that I know a lot of animal people involved in animal welfare, including the horse charity that you mentioned earlier, have been working really hard with the Barbados government on. And we're not going to give up. We're going to keep pushing for it, you know, because we want everybody to enjoy our animals and our horses and so forth, but in a safe and in the proper way that's beneficial to the animal. You mentioned water, Roberta. Why is it that horses need constant access to water?
Well, dehydration is not, you know, it happens really quickly. So therefore I keep my horses with the ones that are stable, get two buckets filled to the top every morning and every night. And some of them will drink, but we'll have to change that like three times a day, like refills. So you're talking a huge bucket, two huge buckets, three times a day.
Five gallon buckets.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So,
and they're thirsty, you know, especially if they're out in the sun or they're working, they're thirsty.
So can I ask you a question? It's a bit of a medical question, but Sean or Roberta, either of you can answer this, I imagine. Sometimes when we see horses emaciated, could it be the lack of water as one of the reasons?
I think lack of water and feed, because okay. I mean, a lot of them, when they are racing, they're being cared for, they're being fed a lot, they're given supplements, they're given everything necessary to get them in peak performance.
Right.
And when they stop, well, first thing that drops off is all the muscle, because they're not doing the work, and then anything else that's on them starts to waste away. And you know, you have problems with ticks, you get tick fever. It's just, there's lots of things that could go wrong with a horse. That
not easy having a horse, is it really? I mean, it's not easy having a dog, but I imagine that having a horse is like triple that, you know, in terms of the level of care and also the cost as well, you know, that's involved in caring for just one horse, you know.
Yeah.
A serious thing. I don't think anybody should have one, and it's something that we do need to look at. So just looking at some fun facts now.
Before you move on to those fun facts, Gail, let me just take care of this penultimate break here, and then we'll come back for the wrap up just before 15 after 5. All right, so please stand by.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's Orvita Pet Dog Food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but is less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay, we've got our final 7 minutes coming up. Gail, go ahead, please.
Okay, then. So with dogs and cats, they have their personalities, and there's ways that you approach them, and they communicate with us in particular ways. Like, we know that if a dog wags its tail, it's happy. And if a cat purrs, they're normally content. So with horses, how can we tell when a horse, for example, is pleased to see us? What are some of the indications that they give us?
Well, I can tell you, for one, you know, my top mare, when I'm walking, she can smell me from way off, and she starts to whinny, like, you know, tell me,
yeah.
Oh, I hear it. And I could do, it could be many times a day, but especially first thing on the morning.
And what about when they're a bit kind of like, you know, don't come near me, because, you know, so they, you know, they might give that indication like, I'm not sure about this human. I don't know who you are. What are some of the signs that they will tell us to keep away?
But for myself, I got a horse that just came in from Florida, and once you approach her, she would go to the back of the stall. She was very, no, not nice, but she was hurting. So I started treating her. I know that the treatment is, you know, worked in and everything. She's just like any other horse. No, she's just a kind, nice horse. I keep telling people, when a horse is hurting, they let you know. They show you signs. There's no such thing as a bad horse. They're just a hurting horse. That's why they get home mean and real grumpy and that kind of stuff.
That's interesting, Sean. How was you able to, was that because of her behavior that you knew that it wasn't just kind of like anxiety, that she was afraid or mistrustful? You knew that there was something deeper going on with her physically.
Yeah, because Roberta would know how I work, but when they go to horse, I do a lot of touching.
Yeah.
I do a lot of touching. That's all I could touch in these times of my life now. I touch a lot of horse flesh, right? So I touch these horses, and you could feel the lumps in their body. And each lump is just muscle bound, like, you know, like a muscle bone is. Muscle tight and hard and hurting. So what I do, I just put the laser and work to get all those muscles kind of supple and soft again. And once I've done that, I've created a good environment for that horse to feel happy again. But anytime you see horses racing on certain tracks, like the poly tracks in North America, those poly tracks are very hard on horses. You jar them up, all the shoulders and back end, all those muscles back end. So I just work work on those things and you'll see the whole personality of that horse will change immediately.
That is very interesting to know. And it's very much like us humans as well. When we're unwell, yes. we're grumpy Correct. And don't really want to mix too much or be bothered.
That's right.
Particularly when we're in pain. So that's a really good thing for persons who do keep horses and maybe they're new at having a horse to understand sometimes when the horse is kind of backing away or going shy and behaving different, that might be an indication that the horse is unwell. So in a typical, just before we round up, in a typical day, Sean, how many kind of horses will you deal with, would you say, that you would kind of like give medical attention to or just check out?
Well, listen, I was doing too much. And I stopped doing that. I only work with certain people now. So Roberta is one of the people I work for. And because my years, pardon?
With. You work with me? With me.
Yeah. With Roberta, sorry.
I
work, so it's not many. I got 8 horses now that I'm training. So I will spend a lot of time with my horses.
Okay.
And I work with Roberta and the dressage ladies. They're my other clients. So when I'm needed for them, but for my horses, I work with my horses every day. And there are 8 of them.
Oh wow, that's a lot. And what sort of things do you do with your horses?
Pardon me?
What sort of things do you do with your horses?
Well, I believe just like any athlete.
Yeah.
You have to keep on top of problems. Prevention is better than the cure. So I work on prevention. When I fix a certain problem, I keep working on it to make sure it doesn't come back, right? And a lot of these horses that just came in, a lot of these horses came in with a lot of problems, problems I could work with, muscle problems and that kind of stuff. So I deal with them. And now I could go forward and we're training them going forward. But it's very important to get all those kinks out before you do anything.
Understood. I understand the importance of that. And with yourself, Roberto, can you tell us some of your plans? What's happening next with you in the dressage scene and the equestrian scene?
Well, my next goal is the Pan Am Games in Chile.
Okay.
And with God's help and Sean's, I will hopefully get there. And if I do make it, and I have never in my life had a dream of going to the Olympics, but this particular horse I have, now I got her when she was 4, she's now 15.
Okay.
I think the two of us are ready for the Olympics. So if we get there, then it's a wonderful dream. If we don't, then the journey has been just as wonderful.
Well, rooting for you. That's an achievable dream to me. I know it's going to require a lot of hard work and dedication, but from what I've heard and listening to you both, I know that you can make that dream happen and represent Barbados in our next Olympics, and we would wish you all the very best with that. Okay. You're more than welcome. So any final words before we close off today's show? And I do apologize for my internet connection being so awful at times.
Well, my final word is thank you so much for being a voice for animals in Barbados.
Oh, thank you as well for what you're doing. And final words from you as well, Sean.
Yes, I would like to thank you also for being doing such a great job. Barbados is not an easy place to get these sort of things done, but you seem to show up every day to do it. And I congratulate you on that and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I mean, it's not just me. I do accept the compliment, though, and I really appreciate it a lot. But there's a few of us that are working really, really hard, you know, to bring about the change. And we can see changes. That's one positive thing. We do see changes. And we realise that animal cruelty and neglect and all of that is a global issue. It's not just Barbados. We're not highlighting Barbados as the only place in the world, but this is where we live. And if we want our Barbados to be great and wonderful and all the nice things that we're talking about, we do have to look at every aspect of what's going on. And that includes animal welfare as well as all the other sociological things, you know. So we do it piece by piece. Well, you know, one day at a time, we make the change. We're seeing improvement. And I think we will continue to see them. if you ever guys wanted to work with me on a project, let me know. You know, we can collaborate and maybe get something going, a program, something for children, you know, where they can come and do a session and learn. You know, this is like primary school children, where they can maybe come and see the work that you're doing and learn about horses and build their confidence in that way as well. Okay?
That would be great.
Keep in touch, Gail.
Yeah, absolutely. The more, yeah, we should definitely keep in touch. The more of us involved in animal welfare, the better for everyone. Okay, yeah. Then. That is it. We're actually at 5:15 now. And
thank you.
It's been really great speaking with you both. And I look forward to continuing to collaborate with you. Thank you so much, Gregson, for having us.
Thank you kindly. That's Gail Hunt and her guest this evening, Sean Hall and Roberta Foster. We want to thank all of them, and God's willing, next week, Sunday, another edition of Animal Craze, brought to you with the kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's Orvita Pet Dog Food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?